It's the National Park Service Centennial. And while parks with majestic vistas like Yosemite and Yellowstone existed over 100 years ago, the Park Service was created in 1916 to manage and protect these places. In the 1930s, the system was expanded nationwide to include many historical sites. And more recently, there's been a push to include national parks in urban areas. To get a better understanding of the sites managed by the National Park Service in our region, I visited Brendan Wilson, lead park ranger for interpretation at Flight 93 National Memorial in Somerset County. Wilson is an historian, and the first thing I asked him was, why does Pennsylvania have a national forest but no big national wilderness park like they have out west?
Out west, there's these enormous tracts of land that were owned by the federal government and could be made as a national park. Here on the East Coast, a lot of it's privately owned or already protected as state parks. That's one of the things that the Park Service is often asked, well, why isn't this a national park? It could be elevated to that level. Well, then the state parks are managing it great. Most parks are created really as a grassroots effort. People feel that this is something that they want to have protected, and they campaign to have something added to the system. National parks have to be created through an act of Congress, and that takes effort that's starting from below. So even though here in Pennsylvania we may not have a national park that's a big wilderness park, we have some amazing parks that are historical parks, Valley Forge, Independence Hall, and Independence Park. All the Upper Delaware River is protected, and Delaware Water Gap, which is a pretty good size park, and there's a lot of resources to be able to explore there.
Talk about how these sites in Pennsylvania contribute to kind of the larger vision of what national parks, national sites mean to us as a country.
When we look at our national parks, they really are a way of telling the stories that make up our understanding of who we are as a people. We deal with both the big events that you might see in your textbook, Valley Forge and Independence, but also things like Hopewell Furnace, which deals with early industry here in the country. Also, in recent years, we've seen this expansion with the Park Service into telling these stories of people who might not be seen initially. One of the recent additions is sites related to Harriet Tubman and her work with the Underground Railroad. They're looking at sites right now on how we're going to tell the LGBT story and the civil rights movement there. The concept is to create a system that allows people to find whatever their story is, their park. And that's a big part of this centennial movement, too, is to let people go and explore and find things that are personal for them, to find their connection. Take, for example, with the national parks in western Pennsylvania, we have 31 miles of walking trails. And even though all of our sites are historically focused, it is a place where people can come and walk through the outdoors. Just because it's labeled as a historic site doesn't mean that you can't find a natural experience. And just because it's labeled as a wilderness park doesn't mean there's not history and there's not stories there.
We are here at the Flight 93 National Memorial, which, of course, is where Flight 93 crashed on 9/11. 33 passengers and 7 crew members were killed here, and this is their final resting place. This is a memorial to their lives as well as their sacrifice. Can you talk a little bit about the site itself? We're not in the Great Mountains of the West, but we are here in the Allegheny Mountains, and it's a very rural, kind of almost remote place.
Absolutely. The landscape plays a key role in understanding both the story of what happened here and also how we are telling this story. The site is a reclaimed surface coal mine. The area here was mined for years before Flight 93 crashed here. So this is a landscape which has been impacted by the crash and by the experiences and the history of the land before that. And when the designer was looking at this space, really designed it to be an entire memorial landscape. The memorial boundary encompasses 2,200 acres, so it's not just one spot or one space. And the natural elements are key to helping with the healing process. So it's really envisioned as a living memorial. For example, when you look at the built elements, there's using gray and black and white. And they're very solemn colors, very stark colors. It is to remind us that this is a place of violence where a very violent event happened. But also by doing that, what happens is the color on a day like this, you have the green grass and the yellows and reds and blues and purples and pinks and whites of the wildflowers. You have the trees in full leaf. You have the blue sky and white clouds above. And so that color comes from the land and from the plants and the trees. And it's a reminder of the healing process and renewal, and that from horrible events and things of violence can also come good things. We have 40 groves of trees, which are the memorial groves, very formally planted as a way of honoring the passengers and crew. This year was our fifth year of Plant a Tree at Flight 93, which is our reforestation effort. I think we're up to almost 90,000 seedlings. And over the years, that's going to change this landscape, really bring back wildlife. And we're already seeing that come back here. We have foxes, turkey, bear, and we have all kinds of different hawks and osprey. Since we have some wetlands, we have herons and snapping turtles. And some of it plays in this concept of trees and the healing of the land. And also this becomes a place for the things that the passengers and crew had passions about. Those passions can continue. They had lives before they boarded that plane. For example, one of the passengers, Richard Godogno, was with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and he was working at the time out in Humboldt Bay National Wildlife Refuge in Northern California, dealing with an impacted landscape there and what he envisioned as a diamond in the rough, and that just needed some little attention and could become this gorgeous place for people to hike and walk and be out in nature. Another one of the passengers, Christine Snyder, was an arborist in Hawaii. And one of her specialties was working with construction companies who are building developments to make sure that they were putting the right trees in and how to do this. Four of the passengers were aboard Flight 93 to travel to Yosemite. Two were going on their annual hiking trip, Joe Driscoll and Bill Cashman, and they just loved hiking and loved Yosemite in particular. And so by having these wildflower meadows, by having all this work that we do with trees, providing places for people to walk, maybe it's a way for someone to discover their passions, just as these people had passions before. This experience when you come here is both a historic experience. It's a historic landscape, cultural landscape. It's a natural landscape, and it's a memorial landscape, and it's a conversation between all of those different types of landscapes and experiences in one place.
Brendan Wilson is a ranger at the Flight 93 National Memorial in Somerset County. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.